Speaking of sports and showing the breadth of our program this morning, let's say good morning to a man not only of sport but of another network, NBC. Good morning, Bob Costas.
Hello, Michael.
By the way, I work with someone here who's thinking of selling a Bob Costas story to Hard Copy and the National Enquirer and to me, and it's about how you once nearly burned down the dorm in college.
Yes, Ted Leckis, a man with whom I thought I would never cross paths again, was witness to my folly. He and I were walking down the hallway. This goes back more than 20 years.
Of course it does.
And my roommate, Roger Holstein, and I had a sun lamp, and it was one of these sun lamps that you attached. It wasn't freestanding. You had to, like, clip it to the side of a chair or something.
Yes.
And Roger had gone to sleep. This is so inane. He was attempting to go to sleep. He had an exam the next morning. And I had turned on the sun lamp, and in an attempt to be considerate, I had placed a bathrobe over the lamp so as to dim the light. And then I walked down the hallway. And, you know, there was a communal bathroom at the end of the hallway, like there always are in the dormitory.
Yes.
And Leckis and I began talking about the Knicks, who were engaged in the playoffs at that point, I think against the then Baltimore Bullets. And as we're talking about the Knicks, time is wasting away, and pretty soon the bathrobe catches on fire. Leckis then says, "Wait a minute, I smell something burning." I said, "Yeah, I think it's my room." We go racing down the hallway, open the door, and at just that point, Holstein has been awakened by the smoke and the fumes, and I swear I'm not making this up.
Yes.
We arrive exactly as Holstein awakes and stares in horror at the other side of the room, which is now a wall of flames, and he thinks I've done a Buddhist monk trip and have immolated myself, and he screams at the top of his lungs, "Costas!" And I was standing right next to him saying, "Roger, it's fine, but I think we better get out of here." And we had to evacuate the dorm at midnight, and we all headed out into the courtyard.
Just think, if that hadn't happened, you might have gone on to a full professional career in sports.
And, of course, if, in fact, Leckis is successful in selling this scurrilous tale
to
the tabloids, it could all end right here.
Hey, by the way, speaking of all ending, first baseball, then hockey. Is it next going to be basketball? Are the owners going to sort of lock out the players?
Well, David Stern has been known as the most progressive and enlightened commissioner in sports over the past decade or so, and he's always said the salary cap is merely a mechanism for distributing revenue and that the salary cap itself is not some magical concept and maybe they can negotiate something different. You would hope he'd want to avoid not just the missed games and the missed revenue, but the public relations fallout that hockey has gotten a little taste of and that baseball is now engulfed in. I think whenever the baseball thing ends, Michael, and some people believe that unless Congress steps in this winter, it'll go into next season.
Really?
The damage will be more than just the games missed. The damage is going to have an inertia of its own. Baseball will eventually come back, but it's not going to come back the day they step onto the field, at least not come back to its previous level of popularity.
By the way, speaking of sports coming and going, there were some who said, but very few of us, I think, who believed that hosting the World Cup soccer in this country would ensure a future fan following a new sports growth industry for the game. It is number one in the rest of the world. It's probably not going to happen here. And if that's an accurate statement, why?
Well, I think because you have four major sports established in North America, whereas in Europe and in South America and other parts of the world, soccer has a long-standing history, or if it came in, let's say, within our lifetimes, it didn't have successful, established pro and college sports to compete with.
Yeah.
The sports market here in the United States is glutted as it is, and the interest in baseball, football, basketball, hockey goes back many generations. I think that's the reason. And then you can also throw in Americans' taste. Americans generally like scoring. Baseball fans may say they like the occasional pitcher's duel, but they prefer a game that's 10-9.
Yeah.
Football constantly tinkers with its product so that the offense can become more explosive. If the defense gets on top of the offense, they change the rules so that fans can see more scoring. In soccer, you don't get that.
If you could have starred yourself, if you'd have been a real super jock, what sport would it have been in?
Baseball. I would have been a center fielder somewhere in the major leagues. That really isn't something that gnaws at me in any way, though. I was a pretty decent schoolyard athlete, a pretty decent high school athlete, but I wasn't very big, and I knew that I wouldn't have any serious prospects after that. So really, from the time that I was 10 or 11, I was thinking more of being Vin Scully than of being Willie Mays.
Isn't he phenomenal? Have you ever heard him?
Phenomenal, Willie and Vin.
Yeah, but has Vinny ever wasted a word?
No, Vin is tremendous. I think, all things considered, when you think about the way he bridges the era, apprentice of Red Barber and still going strong into the 90s, radio and television both, I think you can make a very strong case that Vin is the best who's ever broadcast baseball.
By the way, I called you for a particular reason, and just before I get to it, there's one other question comes to my mind I'd love to pose to you.
Mm-hmm.
When I think of some of our athletic giants, the so-called sports heroes, I wonder, there are two words, I wonder if the words too much sum them up in a variety of ways. Paid too much, adored too much, I should have thought this through before, their abilities on the playing field, too much. And then, along with that, our expectations of them in real life, much too much.
The whole thing is bloated, and the crassness and the hype and everything amplified, it's out of proportion. There's always been an element of heroism, either real or perceived, in sports, and it has to be there, especially for kids, if kept in perspective. And there's certainly an element of excitement with the game on the line and an arena full, and there's an element of interest to those who get beneath the surface. Sports are interesting. Their intricacies, the way people do what they do, following a pennant race or a playoff series. But I think all of it is out of proportion. All of it is bloated. And it really taxes a reasonable person who has an interest in sports, because now he or she has to wade through all the nonsense to get to the heart of what first attracted him or her to sports. It's getting harder and harder to do.
I found an excuse for calling you. The Scleroderma Research Foundation and the work they're doing.
The scleroderma is a disease that affects the body when it produces too much collagen, Michael,
yeah.
And the body doesn't need the excess collagen. It thickens and hardens the skin, and so you can see it on the outside, but it also hardens internal organs, which interferes the way in which they function. It mostly hits women in their childbearing years, and 70% of the patients die within 7 years of diagnosis.
Mm.
What's interesting is that public awareness of scleroderma isn't terribly high, but consider the fact that as many or more people have scleroderma as are affected by muscular dystrophy, multiple sclerosis, or cystic fibrosis. Now, there's a woman named Sharon Monsky who has defied the odds. She has lived more than a decade since the first diagnosis in 1982 that she was a victim of scleroderma, and she's put together the Scleroderma Research Foundation. They do great work throughout the year, but their big event each year is an evening that they call Cool Comedy and Hot Cuisine. And it takes place on Sunday, this coming Sunday, October 9th, at the Lowe's Santa Monica Beach Hotel. This is the seventh time they put it together. I've been in attendance at this event before, and it has always been a terrific event, but they've outdone themselves this year. Their entertainers include Bob Saget, Gary Shandling, Lily Tomlin, the comedian George Wallace, and Robin Williams. They always have a big auction of items, including sports event tickets, and this year they've got a guitar autographed by Graham Nash and some vintage wine that they're going to auction off. And their auctioneer is that fella John Machida, who used to do the Federal Express commercials,
right?
The guy who speaks a mile a minute. And so what they provide is, although you're contributing to a good cause, they provide a terrific evening of entertainment that would probably be worth the price of the ticket just for the entertainment and the camaraderie alone. And they do still have a few tickets available. They're $250 a person, and the phone number to call is 805-563-9133. It starts with cocktails at 6 and dinner at 7:30 Sunday night at the Lowe's Santa Monica Beach Hotel.
You do a mean commercial.
There you have it.
805-563-9133. Better do take two, though, because you missed out the names of the two great chefs, Susan Finnegar and Mary Sue Milliken. But that's all right. I'll do it.
That's right. They are the chefs and the owners of the Border Grill, and they cook up a five-course gourmet meal that is also a good reason to spend the money for the ticket, for the evening, and for the cause.
And that's why soccer will not become a major sport. Thank
you. Have it.
God bless you, Bob Costas. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Michael. Bye.
Good day to you. That's from another network, from NBC, that's Bob Costas.